Hi, I got involved in this project a couple years ago when cereal leaf beetle first came up in the Oregon. A few notes on its biology, which pertain to this talk. The beetle overwinters in hedgerows and woodlots, moving into agricultural fields when the crops begin to emerge in, let's say, March and April. It has one generation a year. The larvae basically complete development by the middle part of the summer. There's a pupal period in the soil. Essentially, that's the point at which my work stops. They emerge again later on and do some feeding before they overwinter, but that's beyond the point where I'm doing the work. So the questions I had were, do cereal leaf beetle, do they have a preference for oat stands at different age for egg laying? The eggs, of course, leading to the damaging larval stage. What host plant characteristics are influencing the host plant selection? And then ultimately, of course, we're interested in whether these could be used as part of a cereal leaf beetle control strategy, but I won't address that issue here. So we started off by doing some surveys in some planted fields. We had four planting dates, you know, roughly about 3 weeks apart, replicated four times. We did this in 2005 and 2006. I'll just be talking about some of the 2005 data. So when the beetles first entered this the field, the first two planting dates here, let's see, the first two planting dates, one and two, were already up. As you can see, they tended to prefer that second planting. As the third planting date emerged, they kind of switched over onto this third planting. An interesting thing happened right here on this week. The surveys were roughly a week apart. It was a week of a lot of thunderstorms in the Willamette Valley. These intense thunderstorms are not very typical, but it appeared as if these insects were leaving the more open young stands and moving back into the taller, earlier planted stands, perhaps to be a little more protection from the inclement weather. Then we've got this high peak here. A lot of these were probably coming from maturing wheat stands, which also comprise the local environment there. So typically, this is the sort of thing we find where the adults tend to be moving into these later planted fields. So how did this translate to the eggs? So again, you know, we had this earlier peak of eggs in the first and second planted stands. As the adults, of course, move into these later stands, we again get the peak in egg laying here. Again, this was this little period of time when the insects moved back into the taller, earlier planted stands. Of course, one of the things were, of course, you know, insects, they don't operate on a calendar basis. They are more interested in day degrees, or that's what drives their population. And so here is that same egg data on a day degree basis. One of the things we find, there's sort of the same general pattern in egg production on the different stands. One of the things we could do once the data is in this format is that we could use some of the techniques that in Southwood and come up with the actual number of eggs in these different stands. When we're out there surveying, we can potentially count the same egg three times. Probably most of the time we're counting them twice. So we were actually able to then determine how many eggs were laid in these different stands, and they were actually surprisingly roughly the same. That again has some implications in terms of its success as a control strategy. So what I was then interested in, what host plant characteristics are influencing host plant selection? So we're looking at first the whole plant response. What is the preference of the adults for host plants at different ages when exposed to them simultaneously? And then we had some cage experiments right here and some open field experiments. A little bit on methods. The variety was cayuse. Age classes. They were planted approximately 3 weeks apart in the greenhouse. And then as the weather warmed, we moved them outside to harden off and finish growing. We had four age classes of plants. You have to remember, when I talk about age class one, that is the first plant of the older plants. And that, by the time we used them in the experiments, they were in the Zodiac scale of about 55 to 57, which is about a half to three quarters of the inflorescence emerged from the boot. The youngest age class was about three leaves that were unfurled. Statistical tests, we use Lockwood's variation of Hotelling's T-squared for multiple choice tests. So here are the arenas. You can see the plants at different stages in there. Now, one of the things which was really interesting was that starting about 10 o'clock every day, rain or sun, the adult beetles started leaving the plants and coming onto the cages, the sides of the cages. And you could see them occasionally flying back and forth. It wasn't always the same adults out there. But then about 4 or 5, the adults slowly started to essentially move back onto the plants. And by the time 6 or 7 o'clock rolled around there, they were all back on the plants. And so they actually had the potential to select their host plants on a daily basis. So what did I find? Well, not really what I expected. So we've actually found most of the eggs on the older plants versus the younger, where we would expect that to be the case. But when, then we did the same thing out in the field. Let me go back a bit. When the beetles were leaving the sides of the cages, we would see them fly on, generally onto the tallest plants in the cage. So they were basically, when they were essentially that first host selection step, seemed to be selecting plants on the basis of their general size, or at least biomass. But we ran that same experiment out in the field here. The background vegetation was an oak variety trial. And here we actually found something a little bit more like we would expect to find, where we had most of the eggs laid on the youngest plants. So it seems like this host selection, the first host selection stage, seems to be sort of context dependent. It's always not going to be the same each time. You also have to remember the fact that the rainfall, you know, in those early the survey experiments, the rainfall itself had an effect on that particular component of host selection. Now, this particular data came from the greenhouse experiment. I wanted to see where were these eggs actually laid on the plants. And here, again, we had essentially the flag leaf all the way down to, by these plants were senescing. Most of the eggs were actually laid on the third or fourth leaf down from the top. And they also liked these young tellers. These young tellers actually represented a very small proportion of the total biomass, but they accumulated a relatively high proportion of those eggs. So then I wanted to look at what was the response to the leaf. And by looking at leaves that were excised from the plant, you could then eliminate the larger effect of plant architecture. And I did this in two ways. One, I had the same leaf age, but the plants are of different ages. So I had the second expanded leaf from the top, plus the teller from the oldest, the age class one plant. The second series of experiments was the plant remained the same, but I had leaves of different age, starting at the flag leaf working down. Here's my experimental arena. Basically, I had 5 females and 5 males in this arena for 2 days. You know, opened it up, counted the number of eggs. And there, again, this is kind of what we found, was that they tended to prefer these, again, it was the second leaf from the apex. This is a plant age effect. So they like these younger plants. Let's see, where's my little cursor? There we go. These younger plants right here, they also liked this young tiller. Here are these older plants, didn't prefer them very much. Now this was the leaf age effect. The plant was the same. Basically took an older plant and removed the flag leaf, second, third, fourth, and a young tiller from that same plant. Oops, let's go. And here we found, in this case, a very strong preference for essentially the young tiller, which is in essence, the young tiller on a mature plant, but it was sort of mimicking a younger plant. And the sear leaf beetles responded to it in that fashion. So a kind of a summary of these results. Okay, the flying CLB in the cages were attracted to the taller plants. On the older plants, the females preferred to lay eggs on older leaves and younger tiller. Again, when the leaf position was held constant, when the leaf position was held constant, the females lay more eggs on the younger plants. On young tillers, on old plants are as attractive as the leaves from young plants. And again, on the older plants, young tiller leaves are the most attractive. So what factors may be affecting the host plant selection, this component of the host selection, the selection of the leaf itself? Well, plant architecture is one thing. Actually, in this particular case, we're talking about the whole plant. And you know, based upon the greenhouse experiment, we find leaves flying to the tallest plants within a cage. However, it's context dependent. It could be affected by vegetation or weather. So plant architecture was a qualified yes. Tissue nitrogen, here's a little test where we looked at, in this case, we had our low nitrogen, this was fertilizer, our high nitrogen. The nitrogen test, there's no difference between their selection of the high versus low nitrogen, but the overall plant age effect was still there. So tissue nitrogen didn't appear to affect the plants. How about tissue toughness? Well, the literature gave us some useful information there, this perhaps being the best paper. And just summarizing, using their summary, the leaf blades and sheaths of higher insertion levels, leaves higher on the plant, had a greater proportion of scorenchyma and vascular tissue. Now, particularly for those first instar larvae, thicker lignified cell walls and cuticle were found on these the leaves higher up on the plant. So again, tissue toughness, yes. So our conclusions, okay, so the sear leaf beetle basically is using both the whole plant, the three-dimensional structure of the plant, and the individual leaf and its selection for where it's going to lay its eggs. And these all interact to give you the overall pattern which we would then find in the field. And with that, I'll take any questions if there's time. Yes. Good question. This work is a little bit older, and I've had some other projects since then. I'm sure there have been people who've looked at that. And right now, actually, I can't give you an answer to your question, but it's definitely in the literature as to how they distribute themselves evenly across the field, where they're moving in. My feeling is they're basically moving in from the field edge as opposed to dropping in from long-distance migration. But I'm not positive on that. Any other questions? Thank you.